If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn over to Galatians. Galatians 6, 1 to 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's find the reading of God's word to our hearts this morning. I've entitled my message this morning, Where Are You Headed? To know where we're going, we have to first know where we are. You cannot get somewhere unless you know where you are. You know, if I was blindfolded and I was taken into the middle of the Nullarbor, and they took the blindfold off and said, find your way home, I don't think I'd find my way home. Not many people would find their way home. Because first of all, you don't know where you are. You've been planted in a certain place and nobody's told you where you are, and you're in the middle of nowhere. And often that is the same with our Christian lives. Often people don't grow or get into where they want to be in their Christian lives because they don't know where they are. They're not sure of where they are. If I use the example of, if I said to you, I'll meet you at Woolworths this afternoon. Because we'd all go off to Woolworths and we wouldn't meet one another. Because we'd all go to the Woolworths in our area. So we need to be specific. We need to know where we are. We need to have directions. If I say to you, I will meet you at Woolworths of Whitford's, we'll all meet together. But if I don't say that, we will never ever meet. And this is often the problem with many, many Christians' lives. They live their Christian life and say, well, I've been saved. I'm a Christian. But they wonder why they don't grow in their Christian life. Because first of all, they don't know where they are. And secondly, they don't know where they're headed. They haven't got a goal. I think it was Mark Twain that said, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit the target every single time. So if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit the target every single time. And this is what it is with a lot of Christians. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know. They don't aim at anything. They don't know what is happening. Now, don't forget, I'm not talking about heaven. That's our final destination. If we have accepted God's provision for salvation, then we know where we are headed. We are headed for heaven. But on your Christian walk, on your Christian life, where are you headed? What are you doing with your Christian life? What does your Christian life mean to you? Where are you going? What is it all about? Now, I think it's also important for me just to clarify once again here this morning about salvation and heaven. We need to know the correct directions for salvation in this dispensation of grace. Take, for instance, Noah. Noah built an ark because God was the Lord of his life and the ark was for his salvation. Take Moses. Moses had the law. Moses had to keep the law. God was the Lord of his life, but he had to keep the law to show his faith. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus was their Lord, but they had to do certain things to have that faith. Jesus said to Paul, man shall live by faith alone. So today in this dispensation that we are saved, We have to believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. We are saved. We go into heaven. He is the Lord of our life, and he's our Savior. But there is different ways of salvation. There's was different ways of people showing their faith in God. So we need to understand that. We need to understand what it is meant by when we say you've got to have faith. So where are we headed? We know we're going to heaven, but where are we headed in our Christian life? The first thing that we have to do, if I'm dropped in the middle of the Nullarbor, the first thing I have to do is assess my situation. You have to assess your Christian life. Where are you? Do you know where you are in your Christian life? Or do you just go from day to day? Get up in the morning, go off to work, come home, go to bed, read my Bible, say a prayer, get up in the morning, go to work, come home, read my Bible, go to sleep, get up in the morning, and we do this in a big circle and we go round and round. It's the same as if I'm in the Nullarbor and I say, well, okay, I'm here in the Nullarbor, I'm just going to start walking. And of course, I just go round and round and round in circles. And that's how a lot of our Christian lives are. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we go to heaven. But we're not going anywhere. We're just marking time, just waiting. And everybody's saying, oh, when's the rapture going to take place? When's the rapture going to take place? Oh, why doesn't the Lord come for me? I want to go. I want to go to be with the Lord. But they don't look at what their Christian life is here on earth. We sang a song. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And therefore, we need to ask these questions of ourselves. Where are you at this present time? Where is our church at this present time? Now, I want to quantify that as well. Notice I said, where is our church at this time? That's something that's very, very important. It's not my church. It's not one of your churches. It's not somebody else's churches. It's our church. Where are we? Are we satisfied with what we have? Or do we want more? Are we happy to be where we are? Or do we want more? We need to assess. We need to ask ourselves what we have. We need to ask ourselves where we are. What is it all about? And this is exactly the same with our Christian lives. Where are you? Where are we? Where are you? Where am I? Where is everybody? Where are we in our Christian life? Are we doing what God wants from us with our Christian lives? Or are we just going around in circles, going from one day to the next? Just keep on going. We'll just keep on going. We'll just keep on going. But of course, if you're happy with where you are, that's fine. If I'm dropped in the middle of another ball and I just happen to be dropped next to a little billabong or something like that with nice shade and trees and wood around and all that, and there's a lot of animals and that I can slaughter for food, and I'm quite happy to be there, well, I'll just sit there and have a good old time. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Where are we in our Christian lives? If you're happy with where you are, that's fine. But then don't become despondent. Don't become disillusioned. Don't become, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 25 years and nothing exciting's happened in my life. Lord, come and take me. Don't get upset like that. If you're wanting to have something more, you need to ask yourself. So once you assess where you are, you need to assess what is hindering you from growing. Now, if I was in the Nullarbor, I wrote a couple of things down here. If I was in the Nullarbor, the first thing that would be a hindrance to me is my circumstances. In the Nullarbor, we all know it's hot. If I don't have an umbrella or a hat on my head, it's going to burn me. I need to know where I am. I need to know my circumstances. We have to, of course, know our obstacles. I hear out in the Nullarbor, there is talcum powder sand, that you could be walking along and suddenly you just sink 6 foot under the ground because there's just nothing there. It's like a sinkhole. So there's this type of thing. There's obstacles. Then, of course, there's the people in the Nullarbor, or the lack of people in the Nullarbor. Of course, and then, of course, we also have directions. In the middle of the desert, are there any signboards that say, that way is Perth? Do you have any directions? So what are the things that are hindering us in our personal life, in our Christian life? What are the things that are hindering us? What stops me from being a spiritual Christian? Is it the circumstances? Is everything that is going wrong in my life? Every time I try and do something from a Christian point of view, things go wrong. People turn against me. Is it the obstacles that are preventing me from living the spiritual Christian life? Are the obstacles stopping us from getting where we want to be? Now, you need to understand, most of you have been Christians here for a long time. Most of you know the grace message completely. But there are obstacles in people's lives that are stopping them from growing. Sometimes it's just little habits that people have. Now, most people, when I say that, they immediately think, well, I don't drink and I don't smoke. So no, it can't be those habits. But you know, we all have habits. And all of us have some bad habits too. We might think they're good habits. At 5 o'clock every afternoon, I go and I have a cup of coffee, and don't anybody come and interfere with me. So Mary phones me up and says, Alan, I've got a problem. Can you talk to me? No, I'm having my coffee. So we have these obstacles in our lives. We have things that are habits that may be hindering us from growing. It could be illness. It could be our emotions. But we have obstacles in our lives, and we need to assess them and find out, are there obstacles in our lives that are causing us not to grow? Where are we headed? Then, of course, it could be people in my life. I think this is one of the bad ones, well, I won't say one of the bad ones, but one of the biggest problems in many, many Christians' lives, why many, many Christians don't grow, because of people in their lives. They've got friends, they've got acquaintances, and they don't want to break with those acquaintances, even though those acquaintances are bringing them down, or breaking them down. I'm going to use habits again here. If I was an alcoholic, and I have alcoholic friends, and I stop drinking, if I continue to go out with my alcoholic friends, I'm going to end up drinking once again. You know, I remember when I came to know the Lord, I had about 100 long playing records of the secular world. Uriah Heep and all those people. And I got rid of them all. And I only listened to Christian songs. Today, because of my growth as a Christian, I know where I'm headed, I know where I am. I can listen to any music. But at that time, I needed to get rid of those records. I needed to get rid of that music. And that's the same with many of us as a Christian in our Christian lives. We hold on to these little things. We hold on to these little habits that we have, or these little obstacles in our lives. And we don't grow, and we wonder why. So sometimes we need to assess our lives. Now, most of us assess our lives every morning when we get up. You know, we get up and we say to ourselves, well, where am I today? Well, what am I going to wear? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And we assess ourselves. Mentally, we do it every morning when we get up. But sometimes we need to sit down and say to ourselves, well, what do I want from my life? Sometimes we need to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and say, what are my goals? Where am I headed? And that's the same with our Christian lives. Where am I headed as a Christian? Have I reached the end of the road, or have I still got more to go? What do I want of it? Remember, I said to you at the beginning as well, our salvation is secure. We go into heaven because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But the Bible tells us we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. We have to be filled with the Spirit daily. We have to grow and grow and grow. I said it a few weeks ago, or a few months ago as well. If you were saved to go to heaven, you would have been there already. And if you are still on this earth, God wants you to do something. Where are we headed in our Christian lives? Are we going forward, or are we going back? And of course, then the final obstacle that we have often is our attitude. Oh, Alan, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to come here and sit and listen to you say, I need to change my attitude. Well, guess what? You're the one that needs to have your attitude changed. Listen to what Jesus said. Do me a favor and turn over to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? You see, God wants us to examine ourselves. He doesn't want us just to sit around and say, oh, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. He wants us to examine ourselves. Where are you in your Christian life? I haven't given you much time to make an assessment of your life, but you can do that at home. But examine your life and ask yourselves, where are you? And if I'm in the Malabo and I've examined myself and I've assessed where I am and I see where I am, I decide, then I have to start making some adjustments. I have to decide what I'm going to do. Those circumstances that are hindering us, what are we going to do about them? Am I just going to carry on and say, oh, well, maybe one day I'll stop it, but at this present time, I'm quite happy with it. I'm happy here under the tree next to the billabong in the Malabo. I'm quite happy here. Or where are we going to go? So we see that you've got to change your circumstances. You've got to adjust. You've got to make some adjustments. You've got to change your circumstances. Now you might say, but Helen, how do I change my circumstances? Very easy. If I was in the Nullarbor and my circumstances were that it's hot and I don't know what to do, what would I do? I'd go and I'd break a branch of a tree and I'd put it over my head and I'd walk down the road like an umbrella. We'd change our circumstances. We can change our circumstances. Every one of us can change our circumstances. What about the obstacles in our lives? Are you going to allow them to prevent you from getting where you want to be? Jesus said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are we going to the Lord? Are we getting rid of those obstacles in our lives? In our reading this morning in verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as members of the body of Christ, you and I need to help other people that need to be helped. They've got burdens in their lives. They've got obstacles in their lives. And we are there to help them with it. Of course, some of them need to get rid of their own obstacles. Some of them, we can't get rid of them for them. But it's like I said earlier about those habits. You cannot change your habits until you admit you have them. And therefore, you need to assess your life. You have to decide, have I got those habits? Have I got something that is hindering me? And then once you've decided that, you say, okay, I know that this is an area of my life that I need to adjust to. I'm going to confess this morning. I've made quite a stark adjustment in my life. I used to come home from work, get a cup of coffee, and plop down on the sofa in front of the TV, and 2 or 3 hours later, I'd get up and walk away from it. I don't go to the TV, TV anymore. I'll go straight outside and I'll get some tools and I'll start doing some work around the house and things like that. I've made an adjustment in my life because television, I'm watching the same old junk day in and day out. Even if I've seen it 5 times, I watch it again. And I say, oh, well, it's my time to relax. And those are the things that I've had to do. I've made adjustments. I started reading more. I've got hold of a Kindle and I'm starting to read books, which I stopped doing for a long time. I've started making adjustments. And we all need to make these adjustments. Because I was stagnating as a couch potato. Look at me now. You see, these are things that we need to understand. We need to change our lives. So we need to change things in our lives. We need to make these adjustments. So we don't mix with the bad people anymore. Those people that are pulling us down, we need to stop mixing with them. But then we need to mix with people that lift us up. Oh, but Alan, I don't want to go through them all the time because all they can talk about is Jesus or about the church. I'm tired of them always talking about Jesus and the church. Excuse me. Jesus and the church. Well, you need to ask yourself, don't you need it? We need to ask ourselves those things. Because Paul writes and he says, we want to mix with the household of faith. We read that in our reading this morning as well. But then, of course, the most important thing for us to do is to adjust our attitude. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says that he cannot speak unto them as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ. Why? Because their attitudes were wrong. There was envy. There was strife in amongst the Corinthians church. Actually, they were doing even things worse. Do me a favor, turn over to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 and 2. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. The Corinthians were quite happy to let this guy do what he wants. Because you see, we've been saved by grace and grace alone. We've been saved because we have faith that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. So we can do what we want to. And we have this attitude, I don't care. I can do what I want to do. I've said it from this pulpit before. Somebody asked me, can I drink? And I said, of course you can drink. He said, I mean alcohol. I said, yes, I know what you meant. You meant alcohol. Of course you can drink. Because we've been set free. But if you've been saved by grace and grace alone, you won't want to do it, because that will be against what God's principle is. And these people were having fornication. They were going around with their father's wife. Can you believe it? And they were puffed up and said, look at us wonderful Christians. We can do what we want to do. And sometimes we as grace believers need to be careful when we talk to other people, because we say things and they misconstrue it. Of course we've been set free. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from God, because the love is in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into Christ, and because we are in Christ, nothing can separate us from God. But does that mean I must go out and do it? Put off the old man and put on the new man. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. It's our responsibility to put on the new man, to live according to what God wants us to live. The Galatians. It wasn't only the Corinthians. What about the Galatians? Do me a favor. Turn over to Galatians 4:16. Galatians 4:16. Listen to their attitude. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The Galatians' attitude was, we don't want to hear what you are. You're against us. We don't want you even near us. Why? Because I tell you the truth. Is our attitude like that as Christians? We don't want people to tell us what we're doing wrong. We don't want people to say something to us. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live according to how we want to. And we become people's enemies. Somebody comes to you and says, you know, you shouldn't do that. And you say, don't you ever come and talk to me again. I don't want to hear from you again. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what Paul says. Of course, then once we've done the assessment, once we've made the adjustments, then we need to act on them. If we were out in the Nullarbor, we've assessed where we are, we've made the adjustments in our mind, well, this is what I have to do to sort this problem out, and then I just sit back and say, well, I'll wait. Maybe it'll come to me. Maybe somebody will come and do it for me. Is that what we do as Christians as well? We've assessed it. We've looked at ourselves. We've said, well, these are the areas of my life that need to change. I'm going to start changing that and that and that. And then I sit back and say, well, Lord, come and change it for me. Guess what? You'll be sitting there in 25 years' time still saying, Lord, come and take it away from me. Lord, come and change it. Lord, do this for me. Remember, the Lord isn't our servant. The Lord is our Savior. We are to be His servants. You have to change those areas of your life that are causing the problems. You have to change them. Of course, the lovely thing about it is that the moment that you step in faith, the Holy Spirit comes and He guides you and He lifts you up and He carries you through. And this is something that we need to understand. So once we've made the assessment, once we've made the adjustments, we need to act on them. Well, Alan, I think it's nearly New Year. Maybe I'll make some New Year resolutions. Maybe I'll do it start next week. You know, it's like the diet. I'm going to start the diet, but I'll have a couple of extra bars of chocolate today because I'll start on tomorrow. Guess what? You don't start. If you're going to start, you've got to start now. I could sit in that Nullarbor and say, well, I'll start tomorrow or the next day, and I never get to start, because I get comfortable in my situation. We need to act immediately. Right now, we need to start to change. Those things that we've just been sitting here and saying, hang on, that I need to get rid of. Right now, stop, get rid of them. That's what we need to do. We need to act straight away. So we've identified the areas of our lives. We've assessed them. We've made our decisions that we're going to do. And now we have to decide what is our destination. What is your destination? What do you want from your Christian life? Do you want to stay as you are? Or do you want to grow? Do you want to do something? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Am I going to do it? You know, how do we grow? We grow by getting to know what God wants from us. How do we get to know what God wants from us? By studying His Word. Oh, but there's no Bible study for me to go to. I don't have a Bible study. Well, what are you doing about it? Are you going to start a Bible study? If you say, well, I can't start a Bible study, well, are you going to allow your house or your home to be open so that there can be a Bible study in it? What are you going to do? Or are you quite happy to do your own Bible study at home? And I will study the Bible myself. Free and gratis Bible studies are available. Study the Word of God. Or just read the Bible. Put a half an hour or hour aside every week at least, just to go through and study the Bible. Don't just study the Bible. Just don't just read the Bible. Study the Bible. What does each verse say? Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians. What does it mean? O foolish Galatians. What was happening? Why did he say to them they were foolish? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What is the truth? You ask yourself these questions. Don't just go read it and say, oh, well, I've read the two chapters of the Bible, so I'm really studying the Bible. That's not studying the Bible. What does that mean? Where does it fit in your life? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you. Hang on. Are the Galatians Jews or are they Gentiles? Were they there when Christ was crucified? Or is Paul talking from a metaphysical point of view here that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Those are questions you need to ask yourselves. What does it mean? Where does it fit in? And therefore, we need to decide, well, where am I going? And the only way I'm going to know where I'm going is by studying the Word of God. What does God want me to do in this dispensation? What does He want me to do? Now, we spoke about that a few weeks ago. We are ambassadors for God. What does God want? He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what is our job? What is our role? What is our work that we have to do? Is to have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are ambassadors for God, bringing the message of reconciliation. We need to reconcile the world back to God. Are we doing that? Are we going ahead with what we are supposed to do? Or are we quite comfortable under the tree next to the billabong, sunning ourselves? Well, let's be honest. A few weeks ago, we would have said yes because it's so cold over here. But over there, it was warm. But these are the things we need to ask ourselves. And as I said, many of us will say, well, yes, Alan, I definitely am going to change. I am definitely going to do these things. But I'm going to start next week. I'm going to start in a month's time, 2 months' time. I'm going to start New Year. It's not long till New Year. Guess what, people? It's less than 2 months to Christmas. It's less than 2 months to Christmas. Tomorrow, no, the day after, it will be 3 months till New Year. No, 2 months till New Year. What am I talking about? November, December, then it's New Year. 2 months to New Year. It's not that far away. I'll wait till then. I'll wait till then. I'll make a New Year's resolution. Guess what? We all know what happens to New Year's resolutions. They go out the door. Some of us might say, but you know, it's so difficult. How am I going to do it? There's so many things in my life that I need to change. Start with one. If you want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, you take one step at a time. One little thing, one little change in your life causes you to get to the next level. Another little change causes you to get to the next level. And you'll be amazed at how soon you reach your destination. That's what we need to do. I'd like to finish off this morning with a reading from Philippians 3:13-21. Philippians 3:13-21. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Assess yourselves. Make adjustments. Act on them. Are we being distracted by people who walk after this world, whose God is their belly? We need to be careful of who we follow, what we read, where we go. Now, I'm not saying don't read them. As I said to you, I used to have all these long playing records, and they used to be all kinds of secular music. I got rid of them. But today I listen to all of them again, because I'm able to discern what is right and what is wrong. And that's what we need to do. We need to read books, but we need to read books that we can be, are able to discern. If I read a book and I don't understand where it is at, it looks so lovely. I'm going to share with you. I shouldn't say this on tape, but I'm going to share it with you on tape anyway, because somebody might try to hold me up for liability or something like that. But a book came out a few months ago called The Shack. And Kurong sold this book. And Kurong had a big write-up about it. A great book to bring you closer and closer to God. Has anybody read The Shack? I read it. But one lady read it and she said, oh, this is a lovely book. And I spoke to her afterwards, after she gave it to me to read, and I said to her, this book is terrible. She said to me, but it's so nice. It makes you feel like it's part of a big family. I said, hang on, read what it says. God is a big flat mama. Jesus is a carpenter. And the Holy Spirit is a friend of his. And they keep on coming back to flat mama, and mama cooks this nice big meal for them. And this person, what happened is this person had its child got killed, and they couldn't get rid of it, so it went away to this retreat in the mountains all by itself, this person. And of course it stumbles on this lovely garden in the middle of the wilderness, with this little hut next to the river and all that, and it goes into this person goes into this hut and that, and yeah, it meets up with these three people: fat mama, the carpenter, and the friend, God the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they have this lovely time together, and they have fun, and they get his mind off of his child, and they start saying, you need to live life again, you need to go back and live life openly and be free and get rid of all these things that are bothering you. Now the theory behind it is lovely, but the hidden things that are in it. So therefore, that's why I say you can read it. How do I know these things? Because I read them. Read things, but learn to discern them. Now, don't give a book like that to a new Christian, because a new Christian will be so confused they wouldn't know where they're coming or going. And therefore, we need to say these things. And that's why Paul says here, brethren, be followers together of me. Who must I follow? Paul. Now, people say to me, but you're not supposed to follow Paul, you're supposed to Christ. Follow Christ. Well, if you read another verse that Paul says, he says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. In other words, you must follow the way he follows Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Don't follow people that don't follow what Paul is teaching. We said this last week about, and I said it earlier on here about the different ways of salvation as well, about the ark, the law, etc. People say to you, have you been baptized? Well, if you haven't been baptized, you won't get the Holy Spirit. What does Paul say? We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. The moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there I said it again. Remember I said we need to understand where it's coming from? By believing that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, I am saved. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. I've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into me and he's baptized me into Christ, and I am now part of the body of Christ. One baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we understand that, then we will grow as Christians. Need to ask ourselves, where am I? What adjustments do I need to make? These are the ones I'm going to do right now. I'm going to start with my adjustments. And then we'll know where we are headed. When we do that, God will help us to grow as spiritual Christians.